where the paragraph which says, "Then stood up my Lord Mayor, whose name was my Lord Understanding. And he began to pick and pick until he had picked comfort out of that seemingly bitter saying of the Lord's Secretary, for thus he decanted upon it." Now, we're going to read notes further, but I just want to pause there and say, when the saint is in the place in their experience where man's soul is here in this allegory, and when a word comes back, the three responses were made to man's soul from the Lord's Secretary. They, as you remember, they were hard. They were hard sayings. They were hard. Hard to hear, hard to receive. They were hard. But the gracious soul, by that I mean a soul that has obtained grace, will take even those hard answers and pick and pick and pick to try longingly to pick out something that could be construed as mercy. This is a very difficult and struggling place to be for the saints. And they are, we have an expression in our language, grasping at straws. They're literally grasping at straws for some hope here for their situation. And I love it the way Bunyan describes that as his picking and picking until he's picked some comfort out of it. And here's how he arrived at that. He says, "First," said he, "this unavoidably follows upon the saying of my Lord that we must suffer for our sins. Secondly, but," quoth he, "the words yet sound as if at last we should be saved from our enemies, and that after a few more sorrows, Emmanuel will come and be our help." So you see how he construed out of those answers, picked until he was picked himself some modicum of comfort out of these answers. Said it sounds, first off, I'll take encouragement from the fact that he says we have to suffer for our sins, and we're certainly doing that. And secondly, it sounds to me like that it might be that maybe after some more suffering, he might have mercy on us. Now that's what I call picking and picking. He picked this comfort out of those responses. Now the Lord Mayor was the more critical in his dealings with the Secretary's words, because my Lord was more than a prophet, because none of his words were such, but that at all times they were most exactly significant. And the townsmen were allowed to pry into them and to expound them to their best advantage. I made myself a note out beside, I underlined the words, that the words of the Lord's Secretary were most exactly significant. And I wrote out beside mine, "Would to God it were so in our own day that men's words would be most exactly significant." That's a good testimony, isn't it? I mean, you imagine that epitaph written on your gravestone? his words were most exactly significant. What a testimony. And the townsmen were allowed to pry into them and to expound them to their best advantage. Now, read the note in our version of the Holy War concerning this matter of his picking comfort out. I've already said some things about it. Yet is not the soul completely comfortless, even yet. Here they are surrounded, they're under attack, they got no strength, they're weak, they're diseased internally, they're under attack externally, there are traitors within the city. Even in all this mess, they are not altogether comfortless. If we pray with the Spirit and with the understanding also, it is possible, even yet, to pick comfort out of the apparently adverse answer. It is the office of the understanding to see and to understand, to inquire and scrutinize and narrowly pry into the messages of heaven and gather what comfort it can to support the soul in this weary waiting time. The narrative of the woman of Canaan is strikingly illustrative of this phase of the soul's anxiety. Matthew 15:21-28. You remember the woman who approached the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remember the answers he gave to her. We there read an illustration of faith under many aspects. The faith of a stranger, a Gentile woman. Faith manifested in the face of great difficulties. Faith without encouragement, yea, absolutely discouraged. Remember what the Lord said to her. He said, woman, it's not. You don't give the children's bread to dogs. Now that was discouraging, not encouraging. Faith rebuked and tested, tried, and yet withal triumphant. Faith that had learned to pick comfort out of the answers, apparently the most unfriendly and decisive of refusal. The Lord's answers to that woman. Boy, you're talking about having to pick comfort out of words. She really did. First, he says, the Gentile woman's faith was tried by the silence of Jesus. The Bible said he answered her not a word. This was not the silence that gives consent, but rather that silence that depresses one and takes the heart out of one, corrodes the spirit, irritates the temper, provokes retaliation, and is to many a thousand times worse than a positive refusal. Silence. I think as men we maybe know that better than our wives. I can assure you I'd much rather we fight than for her to go silent on me. I know it's real serious when that happens. Thankfully, it doesn't happen often. But silence can be very painful, can it not? And the Bible says of this poor Gentile woman that the Lord answered her not a word. That had to be painful. And yet this faithful woman picked comfort out of it and continued to follow Jesus with earnestness, strong crying, resolute determination. And such is her importunity that the disciples feel themselves constrained to interfere, saying, send her away. for she crieth for us. Then the second test of this woman's faith is found in the flat refusal of the Lord Jesus. Quote, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to you, a Gentile, but to the house of Israel. Flat refusal. And even out of this positive refusal, she still picked comfort. Her faith gathers strength. It wrestles now. Jesus has broken silent. He has deigned to speak. And on that speech, she now lays hold, doing and daring great things. And notwithstanding this answer of Jesus, she clings to him and, in the words of Scripture, worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Though I am a Gentile and not of the house of Israel, yet, laying emphasis upon the word, Lord, help me. Her faith tells her that there is, there must be, power in Jesus to overleap the boundaries of nations and to extend the benefits of his grace beyond the seed of Abraham to all the sons and daughters of Adam. Second problem, she picks comfort again. He broke his silence. He spoke to her. She will take that. Just that. And yet a third and last, and this is the sorest test, awaits her in a severe rebuke from Jesus. The Lord says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, to take the bread of these children and cast it to such as you are, dogs of the Gentiles. And yet, even out of this apparent unfriendly speech, she picked comfort. She acknowledges the title, adopts the epithet, assumes the expression to be in all respects just and true, and therefore proceeds to build the superstructure of her faith and her hope, saying, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She asks not, as a child, for the fullness of bread, but as a dog, crumbs. The broken fragments that remain, only this, and it sufficeth, Lord. She picks comfort, if only she can pick the crumbs. Wow. And so on this occasion, the understanding of the soul picked comfort out of the apparently unfriendly answer of the Spirit. It saw that the Spirit was purposed still to have dealings with the soul and was minded to test it, to make it wait a little longer. The comfort thus gleaned was the comfort of hope. Picked comfort. Even by the rebuke, pick this comfort. At least he's talking to me. He's talking to me. There must be hope. I don't know if you've ever been here. If you ever have, you'll understand. To be in a place where even the Lord rebukes. You try to pick from it some modicum of comfort that he is not yet time dealing with you. So they took their leaves of my lord and returned and went and came to the captains, to whom they did tell what my lord high secretary had said, who, when they had heard it, were all of the same opinion as was my lord mayor himself. They too picked comfort. The captains therefore began to take some courage unto them and prepare to make some brave attempt upon the camp of the enemy and destroy all that were Diabolians with the roving doubters that the tyrant had brought with him to destroy the poor town of Mansoul. So they summoned up some courage in the situation and said, okay, we've heard what he said. Let's busy ourselves. Let's get at the business of trying to kill these Diabolians, and let's keep going. So all betook themselves forthwith to their places. The captains to theirs, the Lord Mayor to his, the subordinate preacher to his, and my Lord will be well to his. The captains longed to be at some work for their prince, for they delighted in warlike achievements. They got up and they started doing something. Now let me just tell you, it's not profound. It's not profound. And it's a lesson that even the youngest Christian may learn. But when you find yourself in a place that your sin has grieved Emmanuel away, and your petitions seem to be getting you nowhere, get up and start doing something about your situation. Start eradicating Diabolians. Start killing sins. Start backtracking to solid ground. Search the scriptures. Find the promises. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Pray when you don't think God's hearing anything you're saying. Struggle when you think you can't struggle. Get up and do something. Don't wallow in it. The subordinate preacher, every man took his place, and then they longed to be at some work for the prince. The next day, therefore, they came together and consulted, and after consultation had, they resolved to give an answer to the captain of Diabolus with slings. We're just going to fight. We're just going to throw rocks over the wall and do what damage we can do. And so they did at the rising of the sun on the morrow. For Diabolus had adventured to come nearer again, but the sling stones were to him and his like hornets. For as there is nothing to the town of Mansoul so terrible as the roaring of Diabolus' drum, so there is nothing to Diabolus so terrible as the well-playing of Emmanuel's slings. Wherefore, Diabolus was forced to make another retreat yet further off from the famous town of Mansoul. And then did the Lord Mayor of Mansoul cause the bells to be rung, and that thanks should be sent to the Lord High Secretary by the mouth of the subordinate preacher, for that by his words the captains and elders of man's soul had been strengthened against thy body. Strengthened them. They were strengthened by his words. The note below says, after comfort is encouragement. And under these scanty consolations, the soul fights on. Satan is near. The soul is troubled. Doubt and despair are at every gate. And the warfare still continues. In this continued conflict, there are two formidable enemies. One on either side. There's the terrible drum of Diabolus on the side of the doubters. And there's the slings of the prince on the part of man's soul. The one is all noise, turmoil, tumult, trouble, confusion, worse, confounded. The continual worry of the doubting soul. The other includes the comfort of the precepts and the hope of the promises of God's word, which tell the soul that the covenant of Emmanuel still continues. And these comforts refresh the soul. Hey, listen. These are Emmanuel's slings. You hear that? These are Emmanuel's slings. And they're still in the town of man's soul. There's comfort and consolation in that. I've still got the weapon. He brought them here. He left them here. And I still have them. We have the Word of God. We have the promises of God. I was entertaining again this morning, long before the sun came up. I was entertaining again, as I try to do often. Trying to place myself mentally at that moment of death. What can sustain my soul? What can I hold on to? What will keep me safe and calm at that moment? And it always comes to the same thing. I have nothing but the promise of God. My Bible said he cannot lie. He cannot. Not he will not. He cannot lie. And he has said that every soul that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. If that's the last thing I have, if I am encircled by doubt, encircled by the devil and all of his armies and 10,000 doubters, I have this one weapon, and only one. He cannot lie. And he has said in his word that he will not refuse any soul that comes to him, and that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse. Now either I have the audacity to call him a liar and won't trust that. That's what it is. If you don't trust that, you are calling him a liar. Because he said it in his word. So either you're willing to call God himself a liar, or you just simply don't believe it. And either of those is evil. So, they still had these slings. They are still in the city. And so they sling these stones, these promises, out against the enemy. And in your closing hour, that's all you're going to have. That's all you're going to have. Promises of God. Won't do any good. You won't be able to get any comfort from any other human being. Nothing you've ever done, nothing you've ever done will stand you in good stead. The only thing you're going to have to hold on to is the promise that a Savior was furnished for sinners. And if you, the sinner, will throw yourself on Him, on His mercy, He will not fail to have mercy. That's the teaching of Scripture. And that's to any soul that will do it, that's been made able to do it by His Spirit. It's really that simple. It really is that simple. It comes down to that. There is nothing else. So, they take heart, even from what seemed to be a very cold and a very forbidding answer to their petitions. They picked until they picked comfort out of it. And then they had a council and decided to get up and do something about these Diabolians. I mean, there are times in the Christian life, all of us, when it comes down to this, all I've got left is the promises of God. And all I can do is hold them up. Just hold them up. Hold them up to Him. Hold them up to His enemies. And say, here's what the Lord said. Here's what the Lord said. And He can't lie. That's solid ground. That solid ground right there. And so they got up and they started slinging the stones and got busy about doing something about their need. I hope we can learn that lesson today. If you get nothing else out of today, you will have done yourself a great favor if you can learn this lesson. Learn this lesson. Trust His promises. Do we have any comments? Any further commenting, exposition, or questions on this section?